Galatians chapter 4, and let's stand as we read together from God's word, Galatians chapter 4 and verses 1 through verse 16. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? Amen. You may be seated. We trust and we believe that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his perfect and his infallible word of God. And thank God we have it. Amen. Thank God we can point to it and say, if you want to know where the word of God is, here it is. Amen. We don't have to go to the Greek. We don't have to go to the originals or anything like that. We can have the word of God and we can preach from the word of God. And thank God for that. You may not think that's a big thing, but go to any church in the land almost and see what they say, and you'll understand how good it is to have a perfect word of God. We've been continuing our study through Galatians, and Paul is showing the Galatian Christians how that they had gone back to the law because of the Judaizers, those who had come along and said to them, oh yes, believe in Jesus, but add this. And it's always a bad thing when someone comes to you and says, yes, believe in Jesus, but add to it. Amen?
Amen.
And whenever someone says, yes, you need to be, you can believe in Jesus, that's fine, but you have to be baptized, you have to do this and you have to do that, you know that that's false. Amen. There's a simplicity in the gospel, amen. You know? It's very simple. Even a child can believe, and even an adult can believe, and an old person can believe, because there is a simplicity, and God planned it that way, amen. We have the simplicity of the gospel. So the Judaizers had come along to the Galatians and said to them, yes, believe in Jesus, but you have to keep the law. Now, this is very strange to the Galatians, because these are Gentiles, and they've never known the law. Amen. It'd be like someone coming over here and saying, you know, I want you to observe Japanese law and Japanese etiquette. I don't know if you've ever been to a Japanese restaurant, but it's a little bit different, amen? They come along and we eat with different chopsticks and things like that. And we went to a Japanese restaurant one time and they had these things, and they didn't cook it all in front of them. And they have special things that they do. But we are not under Japanese law. So for these Galatians to follow the Judaizers and to go back to the law was completely foreign, amen. Paul starts by saying, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, Paul is going to show them from an example they would well know. Now, when you're reading the Bible, you have to understand that it wasn't written to you and I today in our context. People in that day didn't have schools like we have schools. We go to school, amen? You go to primary school, you go to secondary school, you go to university, and you go on like that. But those days, if you wanted to educate your child, you hired a governor, a tutor, who would stay with that child all day long and would instruct that child. Now, that child could be the lord of the whole household, but he was under a governor, a tutor, and the tutor was always there. And he learned to be under the tutor and to learn the things he needed to learn. And the Bible is contrasting that with the law. The law was there to teach us, not that we could be saved through the law, but that we needed to be saved because we
couldn't keep the law. Last chapter, we showed the position under the law. This chapter, we're going to see our position under grace. Amen? And we live under grace. Thank God for that.
I wouldn't want to go back and offer those animals, would you? You know, I was going through Leviticus just recently, and all the animals, I don't know about you, maybe, well, Brother Victor, he likes to eat animals and all kinds of animals, I know that, but, you know, I think,
you see all these animals, these doves, and these all these things being sacrificed, and I'm saying to myself, why is this really necessary? Well, it was necessary because to the person who was offering the animal, they were seeing an example of Calvary as the innocent was being punished for their sin. It was showing the Jewish people at that time, there's going to become a Lamb of God who's going to be innocent and perfect, and he's going to take away the sin of the whole world. So it was there as an example. And the law was an example. It was a teacher. It was our governor. It was to bring us to the place that we needed a Savior. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ.
So Paul says, though he be a Lord of everything, he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, I liked some of my teachers at school. I don't know if you like your teachers at school, but I liked some of my teachers. But I wouldn't want to be surrounded with them 24/7.
You see, that's what a governor did. They stayed with you all the time. You know, in modern schools today, you go from one class to the other class to the other class, and you get different teachers. And some of them are easier than others.
But the tutor was always there. This reminds us of the fact that we are always under sin without Christ.
It doesn't matter if you have good days or bad days. We're always under sin without the Lord Jesus Christ. I was speaking to a woman on the door just recently. And I asked her the question. I said, if you die today, are you sure you'll go to heaven?
And I get the usual answer. Well, I hope so. Well, I hope I'm good enough. I said, you're not good enough. And she looked at me like, what? I said, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all simply means all.
We're all sinners, amen. We all need a Savior. No one is going to get to heaven because their parents or their family or their religion brought them there.
We all have to get saved, amen. So we see our position under the law, and there was a fullness of time, verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I don't know about you, but I love the gospel story. Amen. I love the fact that God didn't send an angel.
He didn't send a host of angels. He sent his Son, his very best. And as a father, let me tell you, that would be a difficult thing to do, amen. We talk about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talk about what he did on the cross, but can you imagine how difficult it must have been for God the Father to watch his Son go through Calvary?
Can you imagine standing still and having all the power of the universe and doing nothing? That's the love of God. That's why we sing that we
quote that verse. For God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In the fullness of time,
that speaks to the fact that at the exact right time, a few months ago we went through the book of Daniel, and we saw some of the things that Daniel had prophesied about how the fact that from the 70 weeks of Daniel,
from the very day that Jesus, the Messiah, from the time of Darius, you can mathematically show it, and we showed that, how that the number of days, the number of years, the very day that the Messiah was to walk through Jerusalem, Jesus rode through Jerusalem on a donkey. The very day.
So when the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, that tells us that God is in control. You know, the world thinks it's in control, doesn't it?
David Cameron thinks he's in control. David Cameron thinks he's calling the shots. Let me tell you, David Cameron's not pulling the shots. Right, Vladimir Putin thinks he's in control.
He's not in control. God is in control. This world, the United Nations and all these different countries, they think they're in charge.
But let me tell you, God's in charge. In the fullness of time, in exactly the time that the Lord was supposed to come, he came and was crucified on the cross. That gives me hope as well. When the exact time comes, when the Lord is supposed to come back,
he's going to come back. I think it's been a long time. It's been 2,000 years. But you know, at exactly the right time,
nobody's going to stop. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. He came not only to free us from sin, but to give us the adoption of sons. You know, it would be one thing. Turn over to John chapter 8 and verse 36. John chapter 8 and verse 36.
John chapter 8, verse 36 says this: If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
It's one thing to know, thank God you can know, that Jesus has freed us from the power and the penalty of sin, and one day will free us from the presence of sin. You know, it's going to be a great day when we're in heaven, and you don't have to worry about a bar being open, a pub being open, and somebody walking down the street being drunk. One day we're going to be freed from the very presence of sin. That's a wonderful thing. But there's more. He freed us from sin, and then he adopted us into his son. We're adopted. Amen. We are sons of the King.
Now, I said last week, and it's true, my wife, when we were first married, she asked me if there was any chance, I don't know why she asked this, she asked me if there was any chance that one day I would get a large inheritance.
I was quick to tell her that's never going to happen, because there's nobody in my family who's ever had any amount of money that they would leave it to me.
But thank God I've been adopted in the family of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm royalty. Amen. I'm royal. You're royalty. Amen. Prince Charles comes up and he thinks he's royalty and does all this, that, and the other.
He's only earthly royalty. But we're part of the family of the King of Kings. We've been adopted as sons. And under the Roman law and under the law of that time, when you were adopted as a son, you were just as much a son as someone who was born a son in that family.
We have the adoption, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's what that means, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father is a term of a baby crying out to its father or its mother, Daddy, Mommy. It's a term of confidence. It's a term of relationship. If you've ever been a parent, you know what that's like. When that, sometimes it's not a good thing, man. Yeah, I don't know how, but you get these ears. And not these kind of ears, but the kind of ears when you're a parent, you hear your child at any time. You know when they're crying. You can tell. There's something in your spirit. The Lord just wakes you up to it. That's the great thing. Except 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and all the different feeds, amen.
But a child will cry out for, they know their parents. God has so blessed us that we are not only freed from sin, we're part of his family. A dear part of his family. We are a son or a daughter that has been received by faith into the family of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8, actually verse 14. I want you to see how we've been adopted into the family of God and what it means for us who are saved. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, present tense, the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, just like in Galatians. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
So being saved not only frees us from sin, not only places us in the family of God, but we are joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? Whatever the Lord's getting, we get joint heirs. The blessings that will come to the Lord Jesus Christ will also come to us. That's why Paul said at the end of that chapter, who shall separate us from the love of God?
Nothing. We're adopted into his family. That's because of a divine appointment in the fullness of time. And then there was a divine approval. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was approved by God. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized and through the scripture that God broke forth and said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased.
God was pleased with the Lord Jesus and what he did on the cross.
So we are freed. We're a part of the family of God. Verse number 7, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Now, Paul is taking them back to how they were before they were saved. Looking at what God has done for us.
Amen.
Looking at the freedom we have. Why would you go back to the world? Why would you go back to religion?
Amen.
Why would you bring yourself again under bondage to that which did not bring you freedom?
Amen.
I've met people and they've said, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, but I'm going back to my home church. I'm going back to the dead old Church of Scotland. Sometimes even the Roman Catholic Church. Why would you go back to that? Remember a joke I heard many years ago when I was about the two skeletons in the Church of Scotland. And they were in a closet in the Church of Scotland. And one skeleton said to the other, why are we in here? The other skeleton said, I don't know. One skeleton said to the other, said, well, you know, it's dark in here. We don't get much to eat, do we? Other skeleton said, yeah, it is dark. We don't get much to eat here at all. One skeleton said, well, why don't we just leave? Other skeleton replied, well, that takes guts and we haven't got any. Amen. It's easy to go back to the old bondage and the old religion and sit in the old church that did not bring you freedom. It takes courage to follow the Lord. Amen. Paul says, you remember what you were like before you were saved? You remember what it's like before you knew the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember what that you were in? Remember that and be free in Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2 says this. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And then over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 5, talking about the Christians of Thessalonica. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as Gentiles which know not God. So he's showing that the Corinthians, the Thessalonians, and now the Galatians, what you were like before you were saved. You were carried away unto idolatry and false religion and bondage. Why on earth would you go back? Why on earth, you know, thank God the Christian life is forward.
Amen.
If you read over in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God, most of the armor is all forward, in front. We are to go forward in the grace of God. God never calls us to go backwards. In fact, if you go backwards, the Bible calls it backsliding. We're to go forward. So Paul is showing the Galatians, why would you go back? Look at verse number 9. But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why would you go back?
What is it that would make you, you know, the devil believes that everyone has their price. Amen. He said that about Job. The devil went to in front of God and said, if you take away Job's family, he'll curse you to your face. And he didn't. And then the devil said to the Lord, he said, if you make him sick and full of boils, he'll curse you to your face. And Job didn't. Can you imagine what it was like for Job sitting there in a pile? His whole family had deserted him, taking a piece of clay and scratching yourself. But he still didn't curse God. The devil thinks there's something he can do to you and I that'll make us come back. What is it that would make us turn back?
We sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Sometimes the devil will come along and say, well, you know, that fundamentalist stuff, that funny mentalist, those Bible-believing Christians, they're a bit extreme, don't you know? They actually believe they've got the word of God. They actually believe that it's literally inspired. Amen. That's a little bit extreme, don't you think? The world will tell you that, won't it? Well, you read your Bible. I was telling Ross the other day when I was a young Christian, I used to take the bus everywhere, and I didn't have a lot of time, so I'd take my Bible with me and I'd read the Bible on the bus. And honestly, it was like pulling that shotgun. What are you reading that for? Because it's good. What do you mean it's good? I remember I was in the army, I used to read my Bible in the barrack rooms, and people come along and they would do this. What's that? No, I could have been reading anything and they wouldn't have bothered. As soon as you have the word of God, they take notes. So the devil knows these things. And I'll say to you, why don't you just give up? Turn back. Life will be so much easier to get back in bondage. But will it? Turn over to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 says this: when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. This speaks of someone who's come under the sound of the gospel and that they've reformed their life. They've changed their life. Amen? Because the gospel will do that. It will bring light. But when they turned back, instead of going back to where they were actually in a worse condition. Because the man was dealing not only with one evil spirit, but seven evil spirits. You see, the devil will not tell you this. He will lie to you and he'll tell you it'll be easy when you go back. It'll be easier on you and your family when you go back into bondage. But actually, it will be worse. You talk to any Christian who's backslid, and they'll tell you, you know, I thought I was going to get easy, but it was more difficult. Amen. My life went really bad. Easier to go forward. Amen. Don't go back into bondage. He says in verse number 10 of Galatians 4, you observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You have not injured me at all. Paul said, I was like you. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I know what it's like to be under that law, and I know what it's to be free from that law. He said, be like me. I used to be that, but now I'm a Christian. Now I'm saved. The Bible talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about some wicked people. In fact, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. You know, it's good to go through different parts of the Word of God, amen? That way you know where they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither were fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty bad bunch. But look at verse number 11. And such were some of you. Amen. I don't know what your past is. You don't know all of my past, but that was what we were. Things are different now. Things have changed. Why would you go back to that? Why would you go back to a religion that says you have to, you know, sometimes I meet people and they say, you know, it's St. Francis Day this week. Okay, seems like a Monday to me, but whatever. Well, you know, it's this Assisi Day and that day and what's the one? Good King Wenceslas Day. Okay, means nothing to me. Amen. I'm not under that bondage. I'm free in Christ. It's not about observing days. It's not about months and years. Paul's afraid that the light that he showed them is going to be in vain. Then Paul gets personal. Verse 13 and 14, he says, as you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. We don't know what Paul's circumstance was, but we can tell from this that when you looked at Paul, you wouldn't have looked very favorably. You would have looked at him and said, he's kind of repulsive. But the Galatians, when he came preaching the gospel, did not see Paul. And by the way, this is the wish of every godly preacher. Don't look at me. Look at Christ. Amen. I'm nothing. I'm a worm. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Look at Christ. Amen. But when they looked at Paul, they did not look at, because if you looked at him just as he was, you would have said, he's not very nice. He's not very good to look at. Paul said, when I came with my infirmity and I preached the gospel to you, he said, I bear you record, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes. That tells us that maybe there was a problem with Paul's eyes. We don't know for sure, but they said in verse 15, where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given to me. So if that's what they used to be like, why are they now going back to the law and bondage and despising Paul? See, that's the work of the devil. Amen.
That's what the devil does.
Verse 16, Paul says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's a good question. If I was to get up here one day and preach something you didn't like,
would I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, I've had people sit in the church, and you can sit and you can tell they're mad. I one time preached in a church in America,
in Southern Ohio, and I preached a message, and God led me to preach in this message. You know, that's what I try to do. I try to be led of the Lord when he wants me to preach. And I preached on the great white throne judgment, and that church was ready to lynch me. How dare I preach? Didn't I know who these people were? And that's what God told me. And I got out of that church quickly, because they were really mad. They were upset. I said to them, that's just the message God gave me. Take it up with him. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Sometimes the truth is hard. A lie is easy, amen? Amen. I had a woman one time in America came up to me and says, how old do you think I am? No, I don't know why she was asking me. Why ask me such a question?
So I took a guess, and it was a wrong guess. And I was being generous, amen?
And she got mad. I said, why are you asking me? You know, sometimes when you tell the truth, it's hard. A lie is easy. Amen?
Sometimes we get up in the morning, we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, that's all right. Truth's a little bit harder, amen? Is it so difficult for someone to tell the truth?
Is it so hurtful for us? Are we so spiritually immature that if we hear the truth, we get mad and upset? We ought to receive it as the truth, amen? The truth of the word of God. And obey it.
When I was growing up, I had four brothers, and we would wrestle all the time. And, well, we called it wrestling. My mother called it fight. And we would go out, and we would get each other to the ground, and we would get to the place of submit, submit. And I hated submit. You know, they call it today tapping out. We did it back in the, well, all time ago. And then we get an arm or a leg, and submit, submit, and eventually you have to submit.
We ought to submit to the word of God. Not to me, amen? I don't mind. I can be wrong. The word of God can't.
So Paul is leading them from the bondage and darkness of the world to find out that following Christ is much better than following religion. Don't follow religion. Don't follow the law. Don't follow the things of the world. They'll only take you to a bad place. Paul's heart was aching. I can imagine what it must have been like for him to see these Christians that he had led to the Lord go back. Must have been breaking his heart. He had an ailment that was really difficult for him. Probably turned people away from him. But his appeal was to follow the Lord. If you follow me, you'll probably not go the right way all the time. But if you follow the Lord, you'll always go the right way, man. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for the liberty we have from Christ. Let's follow the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the heart. Lord, you spoke to our hearts this morning. I pray you continue to do a work there. Help us, Lord, to be a light, to follow you in truth. And Lord, help us to be a light to this world. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. Bless our time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's sing a song of invitation.